Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what a joyous time you've given us. Lord, what a time that you have allowed us to be here in this place, to be reminded of the significance of Christmas time. We thank you that, Lord, we can turn to your words, which are life to all of us, and we are so thankful for your Holy Spirit who will guide us. Even as we make room in our hearts for your word, Jesus, you are the word of God. And we thank you that, Lord, you're going to speak to us like never before, God. To know that, Lord, the God that who is alive is still mindful of each one of us. We would always say that no person is ever a statistic before your sight. That you came for each one of us and you know us by name. We thank you, Lord God, that one of the most important truths that, Lord, you're going to reveal to us is your love for us that is so constant, unchanging in this ever-changing world we're living in. To know that we have a God who loves us and cares for us no matter what. And so, Lord, we honor you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior, as our soon-coming King, and as our guide in Jesus' name. Amen. What a powerful songs. In fact, you know, it's amazing. Some of those who sang here, they were in their 80s. So that beats American Idol, no? Praise the Lord. The beauty of this is, you know, when a person would make themselves available, even in a simple way of honoring God through songs like this. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And so we're so thankful for those that participated. Glory to God. You know, Christmas time, it would bring fond memories to all of us. For me, I would have memories as a young girl during Christmas time, growing up back home in the Philippines. There would be Christmas carols that are being played in department stores. In the Philippines, you know, that would be like a joke. It's like as soon as the month hits like September, you and I would hear Christmas carols, no? So that's how Christmas starts to be like. They get into the festivity of Christmas time. As soon as that month sets in, we would always hear Christmas carols. Lights and the beautiful decorations in department stores. And we would see, we call them parol. Parol is, these are lanterns. They're like shaped like stars. And, you know, all of these things. And then my mom and my dad, they would be busy in the kitchen preparing for the Noche Buena, for Christmas Eve. And so the smell of what's being cooked in the kitchen, you know, we would have like the mechado. You know, the mechado, it's like beef stew. And that's being cooked only during that time. The smell of apples. It's like we would have apples only during those time of the year. So it's like your nose is doesn't get used to it. Like here in America, we get used to those, the scent of apples. So it's like it's a common thing. But in the Philippines, it's special, no? Probably some of you might share that too. And as a young girl, I would go caroling with the other kids in the neighborhood. And one of the songs that we would sing is Joy to the World. I have a tambourine that I'm using right now in you know, during our worship service. But as a young girl, I remember we don't have like savvy tambourines like that. We would have soda pops. And you know how tawag doon tansan, we would just get our hammer and then like flatten it and like put holes in it and put like the chicken wire. And then we're so ready, just that. We would go house to house and caroling, and what we were expectant is, as carolers, is, you know, we would sing Joy to the World, not even knowing the meaning of a song, but what we were just expecting was the whatever money they would give us after caroling. Well, you know, naughty as we are, we would go to the, at times, like, we would circle the neighborhood, and we would go to the same house, and then and the people would say, "Weren't you here earlier?" But then, you know, part of it is, you know, the fun of it, the fun of it. But, you know, that song, when we would, I would sing that as a young girl, I didn't know the meaning of the lyrics. But that the song "Joy to the World, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King." But that, those lyrics took new meaning in my life when I came to know Christ. When I got born again and I came to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And so that portion, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And then it says, "Let earth receive her King, and let every heart prepare him room." You know, as we revisit this familiar story, let us prayerfully ask God to remind us that your life and mine, our life, our joy, and our peace comes from Jesus alone. Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the King of Kings. That's his name. That's his title. Now, the story is found in the book of Luke. We read that. I'm glad that the story didn't start as "once upon a time." Why? Because, you know, when you would read a fairy tale, it starts with "once upon a time." But here, this story, it didn't start that way because that story really happened. It's a historical account. The setting, the people. And it started with that verse. And so what we would see is, even for some young parents here, if you would have like a time that you would read books to your children, read this account so that, because you know there's power in the Word of God, that our young children should know what Christmas is all about, and it's not just about, you know, of course it's characterized by gift giving. Get excited. Kids get excited about the gifts under the tree. But let us not deprive the next generation to know what Christmas is all about. Amen. As we go on with the study of the Word and be a reminder for all of us that many things can crowd our hearts. Many things can distract us from the meaning of Christmas, and our prayer is that we don't fall into the trap. Amen. And so it started with, in those days, Caesar Augustus, no? So at that time, Palestine was under the rule of the Roman Empire. And why are we saying this? Because there's meaning to that. All details, every detail outlined in the story, it has meaning. It has purpose for us really to understand. Amen. So Palestine was under the rule of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire at that time, it was a vast empire. It was vast and it was vicious. It was mean. So that's why the Jews at that time, the coming of the Messiah, it's something that they were deep down in their hearts. They were longing for that. They were longing for it. To be in a condition wherein you were oppressed every day. Every day. And so being in that situation, they were looking forward to the promised Messiah. And so all eyes were upon this man. His name was Caesar Augustus. He was the Roman emperor at that time. See, during that time when you're an emperor, you were considered to be a god, small letter G. You had power. You had all this authority in your hands. So you will do an issue decrees. And you know what? He issued, here in this story, it was told that he issued a decree, an order, that everyone, there was a census to be taken. And that census, what was the purpose of that census? Everyone should register for tax collection purposes. And so taxes, and most of the time, the people were burdened with this. It was heavy upon them, the taxation. And so this government order forced a couple, Joseph and Mary, who was already, pregnant with child, they were forced to make a 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a small town of David. Please note why those details. It was a small town of Bethlehem. You know, one of the carols, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, little town of Bethlehem." Now, so they were forced to make that long trip. Now, Little did this Caesar Augustus, who was an emperor, realize that the sovereign Almighty God was just using him when he issued that decree, that God the Almighty behind the scene was using him as his errand boy. What do we mean by that? Because, you know, mighty as he was, emperor, he's like, I'm the emperor. He didn't know that it was God in heaven who was in control of history that prompted him to do that. Now, one of the things that when you and I read this, when we see that detail, we see that we have a God who is in control of our lives. He's in control of your life and mine. He is in control about world affairs. He's in control of who's seated right now at the White House. Do not be afraid. It's not even about the government party. You know, talking about taxation, you know, there's now a law pending in Congress that's putting fear in the hearts of many about what would happen to me. Am I going to pay more taxes to the government? These things. You know the Word of God? His message for us is timely. We would always say this, the Word of God is timely and timeless. Meaning the principles and truths that you and I find in this book is even relevant. Pwede pa ho sa panahon natin. Hindi natin sasabihin. Let me just say, hindi natin sasabihin, oh, kwento yan lang noon. No, it's not. God wants to speak to us now about what's going on in your life and mine today. Amen? And so it's wonderful to know that out of that small detail, that there was this prophecy found in the Old Testament, in the prophet Micah, wherein it says, in this little town of Bethlehem, the Messiah will be born. And so out of those details, we see that the hand of God was in control so that the prophecy will be fulfilled. So what does that tell us? When God says something, He will do it. Amen. If He has given you a promise, He will do it. Amen. See, I think the challenge for us is when you and I read the Word, and for us who are believers now, as a Christian, now we have a relationship with God. We come to the Lord, we pray to Him, we pour out our hearts to Him, we seek Him, and then we know that God speaks, right? He speaks through His Word. And there would be like, when you and I would turn to the Word of God, and there's this, we call it Rhema words, meaning to say, when you and I would open our Bibles, and then we would land on a certain verse that speaks to our heart. It's like, wow, the words, they would just jump out of the page, and you know that God is speaking to you. And many times He would give you a promise. A promise. And we know that at times, how even this promise that the Messiah will be born, it took many years. Many years. We mentioned this in our previous study. When you and I would look at the Bible, the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. And when we turn to the New Testament, it starts in the book of Matthew. 400 years have expired. And they call it years of silence. Why silence? Because the Lord, there was no more prophet. A prophet was used by God as a messenger. A prophet would say, thus says the Lord. And so there was this long period of time, seemingly, that God was not doing anything. God was not, seemingly, not talking, not doing anything. But boom, Matthew. And it talks about the birth of our Lord Jesus. So what does that tell us? God said something hundreds of years ago, and then the prophecy was fulfilled. Meaning to say, God is true to His word. One of the things that we would always say and declare is one thing that God cannot do is what? We know that God is all-knowing. He can do anything. One thing that He cannot do, and that is to lie. He is not man that He will be found a liar. So when God says something, it is really the truth. How important is truth to you and me? Because the times that you and I are living in, there will be many voices. What do I mean by that? People would have opinions about what's right and wrong. It's only the Word of God that tells us what is right and what's wrong. In the book of Isaiah, it tells us, woe to those who call right wrong. What do we mean by that? Today in our culture, praying is wrong. We have young college graduates who are Christians. You would hear that from the news. When they would be given the opportunity to share a valedictorian speech, they would be, first rule, don't mention Christ. Don't pray in Jesus' name. These are the times we're living in. In fact, Christmas, can I say this to you for those of you who are doing your Christmas cards, greeting? I know time is of the essence for most of you, and you would do Merry Christmas. You take Christ out of the Christmas. You do Xmas. No, please don't do that. Even if you're in a rush, please. Even if you have to find the time, don't take Christ out of the Christmas.
Amen. Amen.
Now it's for us to be politically correct. You greet people Happy Holidays. Don't greet people Merry Christmas. Okay, they're taking Christ out of the scene. And what's amazing is even for those people who don't believe Jesus, they get into the gift giving and the partying. But for us believers, we are thankful for the word of the Lord, that you and I can be reminded what Christmas is all about. Amen. Some of you, today is already what? 17. You're thinking about, what time will the message be done? I have to go to the mall. I know you. I see you. Praise the Lord. See, we all can get into that trap, right? I remember there was a story. There was this long line at this store about the honey-baked ham place. And my coworker was there, and there was a long line. And there was this elderly guy. He was taking his sweet time. People had to take a number, and then this older guy, when it was time for him to, the attendant, okay, his number was called. And he was taking his sweet time looking at the many treats. And one of the customers just yelled at him, just get chop, bleep, 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 bleep. And got mad at the guy. And so why? Because people were always, Raj, come on, come on. And so when you go to the mall, what happens? The parking's. And some of you might have experienced it. It's like getting a parking space. It's like it's World War III at the parking lot. Because that's the spirit of the world. At times, and we're getting there because there's so many things that can happen in your life and mind that Satan, who is, his purpose is always to steal, kill, and to destroy. Steal your joy. What does he do? He wants to destroy relationships. He wants, he's all out to do it, and at times he does it in a very subtle way. And so that's why, even when, let's say, you would look at your checking account, it's like, I don't even have money to spend to buy gifts. And at times you would feel bad about those things, but you know what? Let us be reminded why Christ came. What is the purpose of Christmas? And I'm not saying that those things are bad by themselves. No, but when there will be times when you don't even have money to buy gifts, don't let that condition steal the joy of Christ in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when God says something, he will do it. So he is reminding us that his word is truth. We are not going to be swayed by people's opinions. I would always say this. We live in a culture wherein the social media, you're feeding on what social media says. For those of you who have Facebook, you would post things. It's like, oh, you would hear that sound. How many likes did I get with what I posted? Oh, I got many likes. And if you don't get many likes, what do you feel? Well, just see that. You feel sad. No one likes me. No one likes what I posted. So the enemy can even use that. I'm not saying that social media is bad in itself again, but please, we need the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit when even to, like, put it down. Put down your cell phone, put down your smartphones, and then spend time and worship our Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. When God reveals the future, it's more than just satisfying our curiosity. Even for some believers, oh, wow. And we're not even here to establish specific dates because the Bible tells us that no one knows the exact day or hour when Jesus is about to come. And so I remember on my way to work, there was one time wherein there was a huge, huge billboard that says the end of the world is coming on. And that then it specified a date. If I'm not a believer, or if I don't know the word of God, I will, oy, the end of the world is coming. And then, oh. And then some people, they withdrew their money from their pension. They resigned from their work. No. That's not what God's intent is when he would want to tell us about what lies ahead in our future. His purpose is when you and I know the truth that Jesus is coming back for us anytime. What he would require from us is to act on his word. At times the word of God would tell us to do something. Knowing what lies ahead that Jesus is coming back would require change in our behavior, change in our ways. For some, you know, when the word of God says today is the day of salvation, you know what that means? Oh, wow, that's why the word of God says his mercies are new every morning, because that day was given to you and me that we may be reconciled with God, that we can make our relationship with God right. Are there times wherein we can kind of steer away from the Lord? Yes. There are times like that. It can come to anyone. But praise the Lord that in his mercy and grace, he redirects our path. Amen. Amen. When there are certain things that can pull us away from God, in his mercy and grace, that's why the seemingly delay of his second coming, so that you and I can be reconciled with God. Do you know that true peace comes from being reconciled with God first? If there's no peace in relationships, we go to God first. God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I need your forgiveness. And when we are made right with God, then our relationship with one another would follow. Amen. Without Christ, there is no peace at all. That's why, you know, we were reminded of the names of our Lord Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be. The names given to us, he's our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow, powerful names. And every name signifies what God can do for you and me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when God would tell us what I say in my word, it will happen. When God has given you a promise, hold on to that promise. Hold on to the word of God. The enemy would make you like, you know, he would shake you. At times shake you so much that he would want you to like, you're holding on to God's word. He would want you to like, let go, and oh, nothing's happening. I forget it. Some people, I would hear that. I'm not going to attend Bible studies anymore. I don't think it's working. No. You and I need to believe the word of God, face value. Face value. And that's where, when the testing of faith comes, God at one point said, where can I find people who really believe in me? Amen. And when those testing comes, that's why it says, let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is our mighty God. When we are weak, we turn to God, and he gives us the strength that we need to face our challenges. For today, what lies ahead for tomorrow? Do you know that one of the things that the enemy would do in your life and mine is be worried even about our tomorrows? You know, some people at times, even in a simple example, I would over. People are eating, busy eating. Anong kakanin natin bukas? What? Anong ulam bukas? They're already worried about what they're gonna eat tomorrow. Subtle ways. And so we know that our God is our faithful supplier. Let's continue. When the angel appeared to whom? The important message, a declaration, it was not, they don't have satellites, they don't have CNN. For the much-awaited event to be declared, and that message, the angel was sent to whom? Shepherds. What does that tell us? That the message of God's coming is for all. And he chose shepherds. Do you know that shepherds, during those times, they're like the lowest class. But God chose them. See, God is here not just for the celebrities. The good news is for all. And what's amazing is ordinary people like those shepherds were chosen by God to spread the news. You know that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. The shepherds were chosen by God, ordinary folks. They were smelly. And so, so society, po, it's like, No. With God, they are important to the Lord. Because God is teaching us not to judge people by their appearance or by their looks. When God chooses an ordinary person to be, he even used a donkey just to talk to someone, meaning to say, God can use anything, God can use anyone, because he's God. Amen. And so the angel appeared to the shepherds, and the message from God was, the number one thing is, look at this, do not be afraid. You know why? We people are fearful. There's so many fears. I don't know what your fears are today. God knows them. What are we afraid of? So that was one. Do not be afraid. And it says the good news of great joy is for all. It's for all. It's for you and me. Amen. And it says today a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. You know what? That word today, the meaning of Jesus, what he stands for, even applies for us now. So whatever your circumstances are, Jesus still remains to be our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And another thing, another detail, this is a sign to you. Look at that, what the Word of God says. The sign to you is you will find a baby. The sign is this, you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. Who? What a strange way to save the world. That the sign that you would know that the Messiah has come, you will find a helpless baby. What lesson do we learn from that? You know, one of the things that we begin to realize is even the place where Jesus was born. You know, we have Christmas cards, and it will not really depict the condition of where Jesus was born. That place, it was a stable. It's dark, damp, and dirty, and smelly. So people cannot connect the dots as far as, what? I'll find the Messiah as a baby, and where again? In Bethlehem, small town. Where? I remember when we moved here to Carson. Where did you move? Because we came from Walnut. Walnut was really a nice place. And when we moved here to Carson, and our neighbor, when we first met our neighbor, he said, where did you live before? And I said, where? City of Walnut. And he said, his comment to me is, why Carson? So he was making a comparison between Walnut and Carson. And I just told him simply that the Lord led us here. I have that story to tell some of you how we came here in Carson. But what I'm saying is, wherever you are, your zip code will not define who you are. Amen. My being here in Carson was because God led me here and my family, because I didn't even know that this will be one of the plans of the Lord to be serving here in the city of Carson. See, we have a God who oversees things. The changes, whether you move from one place to another, change of a job, God is in control. Changes in our lives, getting old, being alone, all that. You have an emptiness. Your kids, all of your kids are grown up. Oh, my kids are grown up, and suddenly you became a grandparent. Ooh, Whatever changes we find ourselves in, God is still with us. What we're saying here is when that sign was said that you will find a baby, we should not limit. At times, you and I would have expectations on how God would move in our situations. And so the plan of God was to send Jesus as a Savior. But, well, come on. You see, what we would really appreciate about the shepherds was that when the angel said, you will find the baby. And you know what? It was their act of obedience. They went. They believed the word. What? The Messiah and the sign will be a baby. And yet, they did not allow that small detail for them to allow doubts in their minds. It cannot be. The Messiah cannot be just a baby, right? But then they obeyed. See, obedience is so important in our lives as a follower of Christ. Some of you who have known Christ for quite a while. In the bottom line is, what is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to do? Worship Him? Spend time with Him? Serve Him in whatever capacity? I'm not saying that everybody will be a pastor. Not everybody will be a missionary to be sent to Timbuktu. God has something for you to do in His kingdom. Amen. Irrespective of your age, whether even in my 80s, oh yes, I can tell you that Caleb, in the Old Testament, he was in his 80s, and his conviction was, oh Lord, I'm still here ready to serve you, God. Amen. Because with the Lord, there's no retirement. Amen. Amen. And so, what Jesus gives to us goes beyond our physical needs. We live in a world wherein you and I are at times controlled by our natural, physical senses. What do we see? What do we hear in the natural? And that at times controls our how we react, how we decide. But you know what? When the Word of God says, for you and I have been called to walk by faith and not by sight. Even when you and I find ourselves in a dark place, when you and I find ourselves in a moment wherein you and I are so helpless, God has not forgotten you. Even in moments wherein it's like, God, I need you. I need you to show up now, God. I'm hanging by the nails, Lord. I'm ready to fall. Do you know what? God hears our cry, and God is able to save even today. And so what He gives goes beyond our physical needs. Let us not just be satisfied with what this world will give, because everything here in this world will disappear. They will be burnt up. That's what the Bible says in 2 Peter. Meaning to say, I'm not saying here that God is not mindful of our needs. He is. He is. I've shared with you many things that I went through the past year, and I've seen the hand of God for the heart that believes, for the heart that believes. Continue to believe in God. Continue to believe that His word is true, and He will never fail you. He will show up because God is never late. The seemingly delay is never a denial from God. It's just that at times that He would test your faith and mind whether you and I would still worship Him and serve Him till the end. Amen. So from that famous Christmas carol, Joy to the World, the birth of our Lord Jesus is to bring joy to us because He came, number one, to save us from our sins. That's the significance of Christmas. It's something that you and I cannot do for ourselves or no one else. Jesus, the meaning of Him being our Savior, you and I, when I went to the memorial service for Brother Richard Galang, I was blessed and blessed to be reminded of the gift of eternal life. When that appointed time comes from anyone, when that time comes, then we begin to value what our faith in our Lord Jesus has secured for us. The meaning of what it means to have Jesus with us, not just here in this physical world, but beyond. Amen. The gift of eternal life. What the world will offer you would only be just but temporary. They're just but temporary fixes, I tell you. And I'm not saying when you need a vacation, go and go get a vacation. But when God calls you to do something for Him, find the time to do it for God. Amen. Because we don't own time. Time that does not, you and I are not guaranteed our tomorrow. So we seize every moment and every opportunity that God gives us. Amen. So the question is, what's in your heart right now? What's in your heart right now? Is it filled with fear or loneliness? Is it filled with anxiety? You know, the Lord is here to bring you joy and peace. Make room, let's make room for the Lord in our hearts today. Amen. And from the Word of God, let me just read a portion to you of this newsletter that I got from the ministry of Chuck Swindoll. The message is, God is our Emmanuel. God is with us. If you're a Christian, if you already received Jesus in your life, God is with you. It's not based on our feelings. It's based on the truth that when you and I receive Christ, He's with us. Christmas is about God coming down to live with us in this world, in this weary, dark world. The long-awaited Messiah finally letting out His first cry. The Savior, the only hope for a world that takes Him out. The conquering King of Kings who is coming again to make the wrong right once and for all. Amen. And so His name is Jesus because He is King of Kings. Amen. He's King and yet He's mindful of us. Amen. That He loves us. He loves you and me. And so let's make room for the Lord in our hearts today. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Lord God, we come to You recognizing that You are the God who is sovereign, the Almighty God. Your word reminds us that Your ways are higher than ours. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When we revisit the birth of our Lord Jesus, it has given us so many important details and reminds us of Your nature and character, that You are the God of salvation, that in Your mercy and grace, You thought of a way for us to be delivered from our sins, from the grip of sin that would bring eternal death to us. But Father God, we thank You that, Lord, the best gift that anyone can have, as we are reminded, is the gift of Your love through Your Son Jesus that came that very first Christmas night. That, Lord, You came because You have thoughts about each one of us, that You would want to save us, Lord God, that You would deliver us from darkness, and that You would transfer us into Your wonderful, everlasting light. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that brings us hope for us. The message that the angel declared is also a message that still echoes in our times today, that this message about the birth of our Lord Jesus is to bring joy to all of us, young and old, rich or poor. No matter what our background is, God, that message is for us. Say that to the Lord. Thank You, Lord, that that message is for me. That message of hope and joy and peace is for me today. Amen. And so, Lord God, we thank You that You are the all-knowing God who knows every detail of what's going on in our lives, personal issues, family issues, health issues, issues about our job, relationships at home, at the workplace, in our communities. Lord, relationships in Your own, in the body of Christ. Lord, as a nation, You see our brokenness, God. But we come to You, Jesus, because You are our peace. We come to You because, Lord, as we make our relationship right with You, we know that our relationship with one another will follow through the help of Your Holy Spirit. God, our prayers that, Lord, as You know what's in our hearts even at this moment, I pray for everyone in this gathering. You know each one by name, and You know where we're at. Your love for us does not change, even when any one of us is confronted with difficult situations, problems that overwhelm us. But Lord, we remember that God, You're greater than all of these concerns.
We remember that, Lord God, you are our faithful God, the Almighty God, who is not just, Lord God, concerned about the affairs of the world, but even, Lord God, mindful of what each one is going through. And we thank you for that, O God. And above all, we thank you, Lord, O God, for our salvation, the gift of eternal life that you're still giving to many, O God, who will make room in their hearts for your Son, Jesus. And our prayer is that, God, as we pray for one another, Lord God, as we come to you in prayer, that, Lord, this season, this 2017 Christmas season, our prayer is for those, for most especially for us who have committed our lives to you, Lord, that we will be likened to those shepherds, O God, that responded to the message and obeyed and went to Jesus and found Jesus, and they were forever changed, God. Their hearts were filled with praise, worshiping God, and told others about him. And so, Lord, this is our prayer for everyone in this gathering. And so, Lord, if there's anyone in this place at all, God knows you. God knows where you're at. God knows your name. If you have not yet committed your life to Jesus, this would be the perfect time, because the best gift that you can receive is the gift of his love through his Son Jesus. And so if you're that person and you don't have yet this personal relationship with Christ, allow me to pray with you today, because this is the best gift that you will have. You will leave this place a changed person. And if you're that person and you're ready to receive Christ in your life, just follow me in this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Just as I am, as a sinner in need of your grace and the forgiveness of my sins, thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the cross that you came on that Christmas night for me to save me from my sins. So I receive you now into my heart. Lead me from this day on with your Holy Spirit. Give me the hunger for your word, and that I may follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're someone that has known the Lord and your heart is crowded and overwhelmed with issues in your personal life, the Lord is here. And so we're going to pray. As I pray for you, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the decision that has been made by so many in this gathering. And one thing we are reminded of, that Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the one that can give peace to the heart that is filled with fear, worries, anxieties, oh God, with what they are faced with today, or even for what lies ahead. We remember that, Lord, you are the God who is in control of what's going on in the affairs of our lives. And so, Lord, we just cast all of our cares to you today. Give it to the Lord. Mention that to the Lord right now. If it's something about a job, families, give it to him in prayer. Just mention it to the Lord by faith. Hallelujah. Yes, take the time to thank the Lord. That, Lord, thank you that you're here for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And Lord, what a powerful time that you have given us. Number one, and that is, Lord God, to worship you as our Savior, to worship you as the God of hope and the God of salvation, the God of our future, our peace and our joy. And Father God, through the work of your Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for filling our hearts with the joy that comes alone from you, O God. And so, Lord, we pray that, God, that you would use us like those shepherds, O God, even when we leave this place, filled with awe and wonder of your amazing and abundant grace overflowing in our lives. Our prayer is that you would use us to tell others about our Lord Jesus, who is alive forevermore and who's soon coming. And so, Father God, we thank you for this time, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's all rise up and let's just thank the Lord. A hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. And let's worship the Lord together, for he has come to us and there's really joy for us. Amen. As we sing Joy to the World. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And we're going to partake lunch together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. No, I got to. Yeah. You're okay. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
There's joy to the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, we bless your name. We give you praise, oh God. Thank you, Lord, our joy giver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Praise God.
To the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.